morning, everyone. Are we here? I hope so. It seemed like a little slow this morning, but a little quiet this morning. But we hopefully will work through it through the worship part of the word. Today is, if you want to wish somebody happy birthday, Ashley's birthday is today. So, yeah. Yeah. So I do want to share, I know she mentioned something there with the an offering we're going to be taking up here, and I think it's in April, about mid. There'll be more things out about some of our missionaries across our country that we're kind of partnering with as well, but it's all part of who we are, and we'll just bring more information up about that as well. But I'm glad you're here this morning. We're going to be looking at Mark for a minute today and Matthew together. I want to just to let you know that sometimes, whenever you read out of one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you need to make sure you check the other Gospels. Just make sure you check them. We're going to read out of Mark chapter 7 this morning. We're going to read, I'm going to start here in verse 24, and as you get there, just want to share with you, there is a lot going on in the world today. I'm not a believer, but I know that there is mental health out there. I know that's a big thing. I know mental health is a big thing. It's out there, and actually I'm trying to learn more about it. But I also want to remind you, as believers, sometimes it's more than mental health. Sometimes it's more than mental health. Now, some of you catch what I'm saying, the others, you know, you'll catch it as we begin to go through this. But I just want to remind you that the more mental health we see, actually the more spiritual warfare that we're seeing in the world today. So I want to read this story here. I'm going to read this piece that happened in the Gospel of Mark chapter 7 and starting verse 24. He got up and departed from there to the region of Tyre and Sidon. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. But he, that being Jesus, could not escape notice. Instead, immediately after hearing about him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit came and fell at his feet. Now the woman was Greek, a Cyphorician. Thank you. By birth. And she kept asking him to drive the demon out of her daughter. And he said, although the children to be satisfied first, because it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she replied to him, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, because of this reply, you go, the demon has gone out of your daughter. And when she went back to her home, she found her child lying on the bed and the demon was gone. So what we see here is a very short story of something that went along with the ministry of Jesus. It's one that's skipped over many times. But I want you to think for what we know from this piece right here. I want you to think for just a minute what it would be like to live in a home where one of your family members was being tormented by a demon. Now the crazy part of it is today some people are, but don't see it, don't acknowledge it, don't understand it. Now, sometimes I know, have you ever been to a sports event, been to a football game, you've been to a baseball game, and you can sit in the stands while over? This part of Mark was kind of like being up in the stands seeing this piece. I want to bring us now down to Matthew chapter 15, and let's go down to the sidelines, and maybe we can hear what is going on. So we see what Mark tells us. He gives us the overview of what the picture looked like. But now we're going to look into some of the words that were a little more deeper in what was going on. So we're going to be able to walk along the sidelines of this interaction, like we're right up on it, not kind of in the distance listening, but now we're going to be right up on it. So now we're going to be in the conversation of seeing what is going on. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21, it says, when Jesus left there, he withdrew to the area of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from the region came and kept crying out. Now I want to stop there for a minute because people will think sometimes that the Bible contradicts one another. But I'll remind you that the Bible does not contradict. We see that this woman was from Greek. Oh, here we see that she's a Canaanite. We see the same thing. Listen, I want to tell you this real quick. I was born in Muncie. I was raised in Fort Wayne. I've been serving here for over 25 years in Huntington, and now I live in Columbia City, and I've always been in Indiana. Does that make sense? We got it? Okay, all right. So people have come to, oh, that don't make sense. That's not biblical. Nope. It's biblical, and God's word does not contradict. Amen? All right, so we know she was from all these places, just like you and just like me. All right, but here's this. She came and she kept crying out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly tormented by a demon." Yet he did not say a word to her, so his disciples approached him and urged him, "Send her away because she cries out after us." He replied, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came, knelt before him, and said, "Lord, help me." He answered, It isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus replied to her, "Woman, your faith is great. Let it be done for you as you want." And from that moment, her daughter was cured. This is a piece that a lot of people want to miss because they think Jesus is hard. We're going to get to that, but I want to bring in a lot of what's going on with this picture. Jesus and the disciples found a place. We think it's probably a place to rest, I would think. It wanted to be not noticed. They're going there, and they think they found a place. Well, let's just say sometimes it seems like Jesus always had a hard time finding a place of rest. Sometimes for him to actually find a place of rest, he actually even had to get away from most of the disciples as well. But he had to find that place, and he feels like he found that place. They were finding that place, and this was a house of a getaway, but the news got out. Jesus is in this place. Now, as Jesus and the disciples are in this place, we need to also look at what's happening here with this woman. This woman has something going on in her life. This woman has something going on in her life. It's not good. It's not good. But I want to tell you, this woman is fearless. This woman is fearless. This is something she couldn't fix on her own. Like some of the things that we go through in life that we can't fix on our own. But we foolishly keep trying the same thing over and over, thinking it's going to change. But it doesn't change because we can't fix it. And there are some things that can only be fixed by Christ. But this woman hears about Jesus and she's fearless because she's going to where he is at. And this woman believed that Jesus is the one that can fix it. Now think about this woman, all the places that she was a part of, knowing that she wasn't a Jewish, that she wasn't Israel, she wasn't a Jewish person. She was a Gentile. She had all these other things in her life which were different. But she comes to this place knowing that here is a hope. Probably tried other things, but it didn't work. Just like you and I, we tried things and it didn't work. But she came to figure out that there's only one way because she's hearing this guy that is healing people, and now she is running to him. But what do we see in this close interaction? We see that she comes to the place, and it says that she comes there, and she cried out, and she said, "Have mercy on me, Lord." Now, here's the tough piece. She is a Gentile woman going to Jewish men. That don't happen. They don't speak to each other. That just doesn't happen. So this woman is going past all customary things. Because the need is that great. And she comes to that place and she knows that the only one that can fix it is Jesus. And she says, and she kept crying out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David." What does that tell you? She knows something about who Jesus is. She knows something about the Son of David. She knows something about God. So this woman is coming in looking, and she's got some knowledge of who Jesus is. But have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. Not too many other people during Jesus' lifetime called him the Son of David. And so this woman does that. So what does she do? She's actually giving God respect and honor. She's giving Christ respect and honor and all those things. She knows who Jesus is. And she kneels before him. How do we know that? Because Mark tells us. That's the high view of seeing it. Somebody just knelt. I saw that woman kneel. But down and close, the details was what is people saying more than what are people are doing. But when you're observing from a different spot, looking at it, being written at a different view, you're looking at what not people, you're not paying attention to what people are saying so much, but what people are doing. I love how God does that through the Gospels. But he says, she kept crying out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly tormented by a demon." She didn't mess around. She came to the point. My daughter is being tormented by a demon. It amazes me to believe that people, Christians, believe today that there are no demons, but it was all done at the cross. But then when you find and read through the book of Acts, you see it some more. We got to get out of this. We got to get out of the clouds. We got to get out of the clouds. Basically, I'll just tell you why we don't talk about it, because it scares people. We're more fearful of demons than the power of God. That's why. That's why we don't talk about it. That's why a lot of people don't want to talk about it. That's exactly what it is. But this woman calls it out. She knew what it was. People would say sometimes, "Oh, those people back in the day, they thought everything was a demonic. They thought everything was evil. Everybody was possessed." No, no. Let me just tell you, demons show themselves a lot more in outward appearance. They still do it today, but they're very cunning, and they're very discreet. One of their greatest weapons is that they're in the room and you don't know it, and they do all the things they're going to do. So she says that my daughter is cruelly tormented by a demon. Could you imagine what that would be like? I have to go find something that can help her. Well, there's no medicine that's going to help somebody that is being attacked and being tormented by a demon. It's only by the name of Christ. It's only by the name of Christ. And she knows that. So here's what we see. "Yet he did not say a word to her." So he didn't say anything, but his disciples spoke up, approached him, and urged him, "Send her away. Send her away because she's not Jewish. Send her away because she's just, we need some rest. Send her away because she cries out after us. Get her away. Push her away. I don't have nothing to do with them people." This woman is fearless. How many times have you stopped praying because it didn't happen the first time you prayed? Here's what happens. Jesus replied, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." True. To complete some of those prophecies in Isaiah. Luke chapter 4 commends some other prophecies of Jesus coming. The Jews knew that a Messiah was coming. They knew that it would be God's Son. They knew those things. Most of them didn't acknowledge it when Jesus came, but that's what he came for. But she came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, help me." Now I want to tell you, when you get to the part where you say, Lord, help me, you are probably in a pretty rough spot. You're probably in a pretty rough spot. For today, what a lot of us would say it might be financial. Others, it might say, my marriage. See, we got to pick big things. Another thing would be that my son or my daughter has health issues, or they're away from the Lord, or my business is tanking and it's not doing great, or I can't find a job, those kind of things. Or I've got a doctor's visit and it's not looking good. It's those kind of things that draw and drive us to our knees, where we say, Lord, help me. And when we get to that place, we are exactly where we need to be. It's what those places are designed to do. Draw us to the Lord. Not away from the Lord. Not I can fix my own problems. But to draw to Jesus Christ. Have you noticed that when things aren't going good in your life, that your prayer life goes up? But when things are going good, many times your prayer life goes down. So maybe wonder why things happen in our life that God allows so that we will be drawn to Him. It doesn't have to be that way, but it happens a lot. Because we will get really personal because the problem is personal. And as He says, as we see this part here, she says, Lord, help me. Jesus answered, it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to their dogs. Now that's the toughest part of this piece. This is the part where I've come for the Jews only. How do you answer this question? Why did Jesus say that? I would believe it would be something like this. The times of the Gentile was not yet, but it was coming. When Jesus died upon the cross on the day of Pentecost, there was a part after that that it was going, these disciples, apostles were going to go out and move out and begin to share the gospel with the Gentiles. But Jesus' focus right now is, in this teaching mode, ministry mode, is the Jewish people. On the cross is everyone. But this is the part He needed to show Himself, because it's been the prophecies have been said way back when. Gentile people didn't know much about it unless they heard it through the grapevine about all these prophetic pieces. But Jesus is coming in, and He says, here it is, that I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And the answer is, it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to their dogs. Now that might be something that people would just stop and say, I'm done. I'm walking away. But what does Jesus say? Or what does the lady say? Yes, Lord, she said. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She even comes back and says, yes, Lord. She's still giving that honor and respect of who He is. She's not lost that. She's not gotten angry. But faith has something. Faith does something you can't do on your own. When you ignite faith, it just almost seems like the faith, is the genuine faith, brings out the right words. As God is moving here. And here it is. There's this, almost looks like this test of faith. She said, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs. What she's saying is, I get it. I understand. She's not fighting. Yeah, the Jews are first. We even read that about the Gospels being spread. The Jews first, and then the Gentiles. But she's not fighting that. She's just saying this, give me a crumb. That's good enough. Just give me a crumb of one of those miracles. Just give me a crumb, and that's good enough. That's all I need. I just need a crumb from the table, from your table. That's all I need. Why does she say it? Because she knows that's enough. That's her faith being ignited. She says, that's all I need. That's all I need for this problem. And it's a big problem, folks. It's not about going out and getting a second job at night to fix your financial problems. It's not a part about going to cutting something off your body to get rid of something. This is demonic. This is the world doesn't understand it. And when it comes across it, It wants to use scientific knowledge you don't even understand. It wants to bring something up because it cannot admit that there is a God and there are angels and demons. The world will not ever admit it. So get it through your head. The world will never believe how we believe. It's not. The prince of the air, it will not. Because if they believe that there's angels and demons, then they have to believe there's God. So here it is. She's not fighting the whole thing that Jesus said. She's actually accepting it, but she's saying, all I need is one of the crumbs that fall from the table. How many of y'all have children that have been really messy? I'm talking about adult children. There you go. Adult children can be just as messy because you know what? They were raised up. If mom and dad cleaned it up, even when they're 25, mom and dad still cleaned up. And she says, all I need is a crumb. I don't need anything else. I know you're busy. I know you're doing what you're called to do. And she's saying, you're the Lord. You're the son, David. You're him. You remember the lady that says, all I need to do is touch the hem of his garment? This lady's saying, all I need is a crumb. Why does it seem like the ladies are always that part? It's that faith is being ignited in her life. It's because she's desperate. Because her daughter is being tormented. By a demon. Then Jesus replied to her, woman, your faith is great. And one of the times when I read in Scripture, when the faith is great, it's usually from a Gentile. There's a few in there. It just seems like it's just been great from the Gentiles. But he says, woman, your faith is great. Let it be done for you as you want. That's the faith. As your faith is, and from that moment, her daughter was cured. Let me tell you, it's all about the faith. It's all about your own faith. Each one of us have a measure of faith. We all have faith as a believer. We have a measure of faith. Now, there are some of us that have the spiritual gift of faith. Okay, your faith just goes super strong and loud and you're just like, yes. But let me tell you, you wouldn't have that kind of faith if God didn't give you the spirit gift of faith. So it's not on your own. For some reason, God gave it to you. But we all have a measure of faith. But I want to share a couple of things about faith and how I believe this woman, how it worked for her. Because this woman had, Jesus said it, not me, great faith. So we don't need your opinion. We don't need my opinion on this. Jesus said, this woman had great faith. Great faith. So how did this start? This woman had a problem. This woman had a problem and it helped deal with something of her own family, her own flesh and blood. And I want to tell you, nothing will get you moving more faster than when it's your own flesh and blood. Amen? You're going to pray harder for your own flesh and blood. It's your family. You're going to spend money and you don't care. It's your family. It's your flesh and blood. You're going to love them when they mess up, your flesh and blood. You're going to love them when they really mess up, flesh and blood. You're going to love them when they run away from you and they don't do it and they don't want no part of it. You're going to still love them. Why? Because they're flesh and blood. You still see hope. I mean, y'all have a wayward son or a daughter or a family member. I'm telling you, if anybody's going to stop believing, it could be everybody else, but it's not going to be you because it's your son or daughter. It's flesh and blood. And this woman is going after Jesus because she knows he can fix this problem. And she has a heart for her daughter and she loves her very much. And she's pleading on her knees, calling him, Lord, help me. Son of David. What did this woman do? She had a problem. First thing, she began to look for Jesus. She heard that Jesus must have been in town somewhere, and she began to look. Now, I know there were some scriptures that were read earlier. This is what it's a part of. This woman was seeking and looking for Jesus. And I want to tell you, the Bible says, when you seek, you shall find. And when this woman was seeking, she found him. Let me tell you, it's one thing, you hear me all the time, it's one thing to read it, it's another thing to experience the power of Scripture. The power of Scripture is this: when you seek, you shall find. She was seeking and she found. What does that mean? That's experiencing the power of Scripture. But not only was she seeking Jesus out, this woman knocked on the door and the door was opened. The door won't open till you seek and find what? Where's the door at? Where is the door that I need to go to? She found out where the house was. She knew the door. She went there and she knocked. And the Bible says this, and the door shall be open. What is behind all this? It's faith. It is a desire. It is a hunger to help me. Help me, Lord. Help me through what I'm going through. So when this woman knocked, the door was open. Experience Scripture once again. Amen? But not only that, when they had the conversation, this woman asked. Ask, the Bible says, ask and it shall be given to you. She asked and it was given to her. Come on, are we in the Baptist church or what? I'm telling you, when you seek Jesus, you'll find him. When you knock on the door, he's there. He even says, he knocks on the door for those who are lost. And if you open it up, you'll come on in and you'll be with him and you'll eat together. But also, not only that, but when you ask him, you're having a conversation with him, he's going to answer your question or what you need. So when you ask, seek, and knock, you're experiencing the power of what Jesus tells. When you ask, you shall receive. When you knock, the door shall be open. When you seek, you shall find. That is the power of Scripture. Why are we going all the other places in the world when right here in the Word tells us this is how you do life? And this is a problem. When you have a problem in life, you use this piece. You use these pieces about asking, seeking, knocking. Because Scripture says when we go do these things, when we ask, Jesus answers. When we knock, the door is open. When we seek, we shall find. And I want to tell you, it is an amazing thing to use Scripture and allow Scripture to be a part of you, and you exercise your faith to see the power of Scripture come alive in your own life. Quit trying to do it on your own. Because I would say this, how's it working? It's not working. It's not working. I want to share five things for you, what I got out of this. Because I want to tell you, I wrestle with this. I tried not to preach this thing for 5 days. I usually don't share my wrestles, but I pushed this thing away since Wednesday. I've just been pushing this thing away. God kept bringing it up. What can we learn about this woman's faith? Because I want to learn something. Number one, her faith was fearless. It didn't matter what was in front of her. Her faith, I'm telling you, the most scariest thing is a female woman, Gentile, going up to a bunch of Jews. Men. Rabbis. Disciples. It's a scary thing. But if your problem is big, you need to take care of business. But this woman had, she was just fearless in her faith. She believed that Jesus was the way, and it was the only way this was going to happen to be fixed. Number two, when you know it's a Jesus thing, don't be looking anywhere else. If you know that Jesus is the only one that can fix it, or help, or mend it, break it, whatever it is, then don't seek anyone else. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. I know people say they can't, I'm a true believer that if you want to break addiction, you need Jesus in there. But I will tell you, Satan is pretty slick. I think he would allow someone to break an addiction to keep them from Jesus. What am I saying? Saying, look, he may be able to say, that I'll work with that person. I won't pound on him. I'll let him get out of the addiction so they can say that my higher purpose, my higher being, don't have to say it's Jesus, my higher being helped me through that, and I did a good job. Jesus will let you do that. I mean, Satan will let you do that as long as you don't call on Jesus. Satan will let you do that. He'll let you out of addiction if it's to keep you from Christ. But I will say in most cases it's this. You can't break addiction without Christ. You can't. But there are those pieces that I've seen people come free from it, but then go spiral in something else. Satan's just taking them on a different roller coaster, that's all, just to keep them away from God. But when you know it's a Jesus thing only, don't go anywhere else. You got to go to Jesus. Number three, you don't give up. You got to keep going. You got to pray, seek, and keep knocking. You just keep doing it over and over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. Let me tell you, it's not that Jesus is not hearing you. But there's also lessons to learn on your own walk with Him. Because if He just gave you everything you wanted in a moment, there would be nothing personal in it. You have to exercise your faith. And sometimes God tests your faith to see if it's genuine, to see how strong it is, to make you get stronger. Because the mountain you're going up right now is nothing compared to the valley you're getting ready to go to. You need these other valleys, you need these other mountain climbs going up and going down to get you through one that you don't think you could even do. But these help you get through some that are coming up in your future. Number four, great faith endures. Great faith endures. Great faith endures, which means great faith brings victory through Christ. That's when I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's when you ignite your faith. Don't just use it as, oh, I'm just going to put it on my wall. Yeah, that's a good saying. That's a good verse. I can do this and do that. And never allow Jesus to be a part of those things you're trying to do. You're just doing it all on your own. You just got a nice verse up there, but you're not really experiencing the power of the Scripture. Let me tell you, the Scriptures, it's God's Word. It's powerful. In the end, when Jesus says it's all done, he'll defeat him by the words of his mouth. Wasn't this the Word of God? So when I read it, it's the power of God. So this woman has done that by great faith, not letting obstacles keep her from getting to where she needs to go. She could have quit when she was looking, seeking. She could have quit. Maybe she could have some seeking. Maybe she found, but she was afraid to knock. No. Sometimes we stop at knocking. But sometimes we do seek, and sometimes we do knock, and the door is open, and we found it, and the door is open. But now we're afraid to ask. And we don't ask, and we walk away. You have to experience it. That's fearless faith. Let me tell you, the hard part wasn't just seeking. The hardest part wasn't just knocking, although we can get nervous. If you've ever been canvassing in the neighborhood, it's all good when you're downstairs praying, or we're up here praying, and we're getting ready to go out and canvass. Yeah. A lot of people won't even do that. But we'll get together, and then all of a sudden we hit the streets and we start walking. Okay, I'm a little bit nervous. And then walking up on somebody's property and going, you know what happens between that and there? Here's the people we're walking. So, now listen, when we get there, now I'll knock on the door, but you got to talk. You got to talk. The first time I was 13 years old in Fort Wayne, southeast side of town, they put me I was in the youth group, and they said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to canvass today. Okay, we're going to canvass. I was nervous. Got us out to canvassing, and I said, Jimmy, this is your door. That door looked like a colossal, like, skyscraper. I was so scared to death. I walked up there, and that lady yelled at me and slammed the door on my face, and I was like, and somebody took my arm. I don't remember who it was. Says, the cure for this is the next house. And so we went over to the next house. And the next house was much more nicer. And it was a lot easier. You see, some people, when they're walking and they're seeking, they don't even do it. Others do it, but they don't want to knock. Others will knock. But even if they do knock, sometimes they don't want to ask. You got to finish. You got to seek. You got to knock. And you got to ask. That's the power of Scripture. For this woman, I'm going to do it all because my daughter is being tormented by a demon. So she had great faith. So great faith endures, number four. Number five, I'll say it this way, and I always say, an encounter with Jesus is always a blessing. Even if you don't get the answer that you want, an encounter with Jesus is always a blessing. Because when the Lord's Son, Jesus Christ, begins to talk with you through the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, you will know this right now. You are an important person, like we talked about last week. You are an important person. You are an important person. An encounter with Jesus is always a blessing. Listen to me now. Even in conviction. You notice that conviction, when you've sinned, Jesus never yells at you. The Holy Spirit never yells at you. So many times he just whispers, what are you doing? You're not supposed to be here. Those little phrases are so powerful. How many of y'all have heard those in your life? I'm not the only one. Why did you say that? You know who's yelling? We are. We are. The world yelling all the time. It's loud. Holy Spirit just speaks so calmly. You know why? Because God has it all in his hands. There's no need for God. God doesn't have anxiety. God doesn't stress out. Oh my gosh, what are they doing down there? Why is she doing that? Why is he doing that? Go get him. Strike him down. Move him over. Get rid of this. No. We're stressing everybody out enough, right? If it's anyone calm in the world, it is God. Doesn't mean you don't get angry. Doesn't mean you don't say some things like this. Listen. This bread's for children. Now feed it to the dogs. Yeah, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that the kids drop. That's what faith will do. It'll bring you to the edge, right to the edge and to the front kneeling place of Jesus. This stuff brings you to the throne room. You think this woman was nervous? She was nervous. I'd be nervous. But I knew what was pushing me. Torment. My family, who I love. Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. Lord, help me. Father, I know that there are times when we go through some things. And sometimes some of the things that happen in our life, Lord, are just so big, and there's just no way we can get through it. But we always reminded that you are there and we are called to seek you, to knock on the door of the throne room and present our prayer requests, present a need. Lord, there may be some here today that are in that place. Some may be afraid of seeking. Some may be afraid of knocking. Some may be all the way up there but afraid to ask. Some may be avoiding something in their life because they're afraid to talk to you about it. I pray today, Lord, that you would just give them strength and increase in their faith to draw closer to you to work this out. Father, this is such a small story, but so powerful. I pray, Father, that you would sink this into our spirit this morning, that we now leave the way that we came. As we take this time, may your spirit have full authority over each and every one of us. And we ask this in Christ's name, who makes life worth living. Amen.